God showers upon us many gifts. If we look at our lives, particularly after we came to know Him as our Lord and our Savior, we came to know that we have a Father in heaven. There's not one of us sitting here this morning who can say, I've received nothing from the Lord. He has showered your life and my life with wonderful gifts, the greatest being the gift of salvation, the gift of the forgiveness of sins, many other such gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life. Eternal life not just to live forever, but to know God, like Jesus said. This is eternal life, to know God as our Father. And Jesus revealed the Father to us, manifested His name to us, as He said in John 17. And Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, the one whom God has sent, came and lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, lived a perfect life without sinning, and offered up that life for us on the cross of Calvary. The blood that He shed is the blood that cleanses you and me from all our past sin and continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That is God's gift. I hope we realize that at every day when we get up and see the gifts that God has given us. Our children, like we heard, are God's gifts. They are arrows in the hands of the Lord. They will stand with us against the enemies. Enemies that from our own flesh. And like we heard, we are not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Our children will be arrows in the hands of the Lord. Those are the gifts God has given us. And it's on my heart this week, as we listened so wonderfully last week, and I want to continue in that what God has spoken to us. We heard about the life in the Spirit, that we can have a life full of joy and rejoicing with no complaining. And that we can receive all that God has given to us, all the gifts. And I was thinking of, and it's all through this week, just that one phrase that Jesus said to a despised Samaritan woman. Every day this week, I've been thinking of that. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, bless my heart so much. I don't know if it's blessed yours. I thank God. I know the gift of God. And who it is who said to me, I'll give you living water, that you need never thirst again. I want you to turn to John 4. John chapter 4. You know, Jesus, in verse 5, John 4, 5, he says, Jesus came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, Jesus got hungry, he got weary, he got tired. He was like you and me. He was sitting there by the well. It was about the sixth hour, so about noon. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, he was thirsty. He said, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. They were despised. They are the outcasts. They are the backward class. They had nothing to do with the Samaritans. Nobody would even go through Samaria, a Jew. But Jesus chose, God led him there. You know the result of that. It blessed my heart. I said, Lord, if we can see that happen in our lives, in our church, that we can be such a blessing to all the people around us, particularly first in our homes. So, verse 10, Jesus answered, said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." If you knew the gift of God. I hope that God lit a spark in your heart last week, or stirred up that spark which was there and has begun to fan it into a flame. If you knew the gift of God and who it is, who is the one, not just a prophet, not one of the prophets, who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked for living water. I hope it has created a thirst in us, as it has done in my heart, just hearing all over again what God had created in our hearts 44 years ago that brought us together. So we thank God for all His gifts. But this is one gift that Jesus, if you knew the gift of God. And I want to underline that for us this morning. Everything and all that God wants to do in you and me on this earth is hinged on that one sentence. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who speaks to you, you will ask and keep asking for living water. That's what he says there. You would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep." Verse 11. "Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." And you know what happened. You don't have time to read the rest of it. You know what happened. A despised woman, disillusioned with life, who had four husbands, and she said the one she was living in was not her husband. She acknowledged all that. But what was she interested in? She was interested to find the right place to worship. And that's how it is with many people. They're interested in many other things. The right place to worship. The right place where we hear the truth. We hear messages not like what is preached in Christendom today, exciting people and stirring up their emotions. And people are interested. Worship, that's become the big thing. And Jesus said, you know, you don't know what you worship. You worship what you do not know. Verse 22. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. And he says, "An hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And that is true worship. Jesus didn't, you know, push her off. He addressed the question that she asked for. But all along he directed her to the gift of God. You will not know how to worship if you don't receive the gift of God. And I want to say to all of us, our worship, what we think is worship, it's a time of praise and thanksgiving, whether it's on Sunday or whether in our private life. If we have not received the gift of God, it's empty. If you knew the gift of God and asked for the water that he has promised to give us, the Holy Spirit, In John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, obey me, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all the truth. I'm reading from the Living Bible. The world at large cannot receive him, for it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you do, for he lives with you now and someday shall be in you. No, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you. Another helper. That's the gift of God. We are not left here as orphans. And I keep saying to all of you, when I speak to you even personally, if you're living without the gift of God, you're living without your birthright, you're not just an orphan, you're a beggar. That's the word. You're just not just an orphan, you're a beggar, you're living as a beggar. If you knew who it is who says, I will give you something that you will never thirst again, that you don't have to go looking for in the world, whether it's your job, whether your children, or anything else. I will give you water that you will never thirst again. And you don't have to draw. You don't have to come to meetings to draw. You don't have to, you have a quiet time, that's good. But you can't get living water by just having a quiet time. It's the gift of God. It's the Holy Spirit that makes all the difference in your life. Simon the magician, in Acts chapter 8, he saw that. He saw the gift of God. But what did he want to do? He wanted to buy it with money. He saw that the Holy Spirit came upon people when the apostles laid hands upon them. He says, give me this gift, that I may also give this power to others. Simon, a magician, an evil man who was full of bitterness. Peter told him, repent. Repent of this. You think of buying the gift of God with money? Repent of it. Your heart is not right. You're full of bitterness. And we'll look at that a little later. What is it that hinders God's people from receiving the gift of God? What is it that hinders God's people from seeing who it is who speaks? Not just the prophet, not just the Messiah, more than that, Almighty God Himself. Who it is who speaks, you will ask. I hope, my brothers and sisters, not just I asked once. I didn't ask 44 years ago. I ask Him every day. I ask Him every day to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to know the gift of God and realize that gift and all the result of it in all its fullness. That's been my life, and it's been like we heard. We can, whatever happens, I can always rejoice. I can always, and rejoicing and being full of joy, don't mistake me. It's not a feeling. You don't have to feel like rejoicing. You don't have to feel joyful. You don't have to feel thankful. And the Spirit of God is in you. It's an attitude, and that's how it is. And many of God's people, like Simon, they want to buy God's gifts. They want to qualify. Say, no, I don't think I'm ready yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ready? Those 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, were they ready? They said, what shall we do? When they heard about Jesus, and this is the Jesus you crucified, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children, not just for you, but for your children. These children we dedicated. I hope you parents realize this promise is not just for you, but for your children. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in many other words, he solemnly testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. 2,000 years ago, Peter spoke that. The Holy Spirit spoke that through Peter. Do we see the perversity of the generation that we live in? And how do you think we can preserve ourselves by belonging to CFC? You're deceiving yourself, my brother and sister. You'll sit here and finally you're left back. Or if God calls you and you stand up and get a shock there. God says, what did you do? I gave you such gifts. I gave you the gift of salvation. I forgave your sin. I gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. How did you live your life? Did you save yourself from your generation, the perversity of your generation? 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit says, be saved from this perverse generation. This promise is for you and for your children. And I expect Sunday school, and I expect to, just by, like we heard, applying, you know, I use the rod, I tell them, I can do all that in the letter. I can learn to say no because that's what I heard in CFC. I can use the rod because that's what I hear in CFC. That's what's written in God's Word, not just CFC. But I can apply the letter instead of leading my children, not driving them. Hirelings drive sheep. You look at them. They are behind the sheep. The shepherd leads. And if I have received the gift of God myself, I want my children to receive the gift of God. I want my children to receive the gift of salvation. I will lead them. I will discipline them. I will correct them. I will rebuke them. But not in the letter. And that's why I feel many parents drive children away from the church. And in this day and generation, I feel many young people are driven away from the church because of their parents, who are legalists, who are Pharisees. I know that. I heard young people come to me, but I never turn their hearts away from their parents. I honor them. If you think that all that we hear in CFC, I don't see in my parents, don't find fault for them. Leave them to God. You pray for them. They're also struggling. My brothers and sisters, if we would know the gift of God and not try and buy it, even by trying to live a holy life, we will ask and keep asking and not let anything else distract us from receiving the gift of God and all that comes with it. God's gifts are not for those who qualify. I want to say that. If you're trying to qualify, forget about it. It's for those who are willing to humble themselves. It's for the despised. It's for the outcasts. It's for the disillusioned. It's who are tired of religion. God's gifts are for such people. And it's wonderful to see there are only two people that I came across that Jesus specifically, personally revealed himself, you know, to this woman in John chapter 8. If I like, first of all, before we see, John chapter 8 and verse 24, the word that Jesus used when he revealed himself to this woman, John chapter 8 and verse 24. Jesus said this, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, he is in italics. You notice that wherever you read that, the he is in italics. That means it's not the original, but this is the original. This is what Jesus said, literally, unless you believe that I am who I am. How God revealed himself to Moses. Who, when they asked me, who sent you? Say, I am sent me. Not I was or I will be. I am. And that is what Jesus, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to him, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and do and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus said, listen to this, verse 28. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Powerful word. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know I am. It is I am who came down to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who took our flesh, the second person of the Trinity, the great I am. And so he says, when you lift me up, you will know that I am. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things that the Father taught me. So as I said, I see two people that Jesus personally revealed himself to. One was this woman. You know, going back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In verse 25. Jesus said to her. The woman said to him. Verse 25. I know that Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. The he again is in italics. I who speak to you is the I am. What a revelation. What a revelation. Have you received that revelation? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who speaks, not just the prophet, not even just the plain Messiah, the Messiah who is the I am. That has blessed my heart. And to know that, I need not be afraid of anything in this life and what God wants to do in your life and mine. And this is how Jesus revealed himself to her. The other person is another outcast in John chapter 9. We don't have time to look at it. You know the story there of the man who was born blind from birth. John chapter 9. In verse 35. You know the story. You know, Jesus healed him. And they kept asking him, who is it who healed you? They questioned his parents. Oh boy, they really, the whole of John chapter 9, they really gave them a tough time. And what did they do finally? And, you know, this man, verse 30, the man answered and said to them, well, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. John 9, 31. We know that God does not hear sinners, for if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? So what did they do? Put him out. Now this is not disciplined. Discipline is quite another thing when somebody is disciplined and put out of the church. They threw him out. Jesus heard, I like this, verse 35, that they had put him out. And finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. I believe that, and it warms my heart to see that Jesus came for the outcasts, for those who are despised. Those are the ones who receive the fullness of salvation. For those who are rejected, for those who are disillusioned. And he reveals himself to us as the great I am. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who speaks to you. I hope this stirs your heart, my brothers and sisters. I am speaks to you. The Almighty God who says, I'm giving you a gift for you and for your children that you can live your life on this earth fruitfully, fulfill my purpose, be saved from the perversity of your generation, and help your children to get saved from the perversity of this generation. It's I who speak to you. Let's not ignore that, my brothers and sisters. That's why I say the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an option. It's not an option. You have half salvation if you have just received the forgiveness of sins. It's your birthright. Everything can change in your life. And the way you bring up your children also will change. Okay? They go through stages. We may not see results. But what you have taught them, like we heard, you train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. I believe that with all my heart. And so, when I see that, Do I have a thirst? Am I thirsting? Jesus said, the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. It'll be a well of water within you, not a hand-pumping existence. A well of water within you, springing up, bubbling up into, that's the word, bubbling up into eternal life, into a heavenly life. In John chapter 4, verse 30, I want to read that from the Amplified Bible. Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God. Welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life." You'll never complain. I go to meetings, I read my Bible, but it's so heavy, it's so dull. I never find God's word dull. I read the Bible, or the words that come to me, like what we heard last week, all through this week. If you knew the gift of God, God given, and who it is who speaks. And I said, "Lord, I want this water. I don't want anything else to try and satisfy my thirst. I don't want to find satisfaction in anything else. I don't want to find joy in anything else. I want to find joy in living a life, a spirit-filled life, all the days you have called me to live on earth." I was reading something, you know, about natural thirst. Natural thirst is a God-given instinct, you know, so you get thirsty for water. And it's necessary to stay physically healthy. I'm a bit thirsty, so let me have a little drink. That's a God-given instinct. And it says in this, what I was reading, I was encouraging my wife to drink water. Because the doctor says, a lot of our problems is don't drink enough water. The vast majority of people, it says, not only ignore this instinct, but suppress it throughout the day. This is what I read. So now when we experience health issues, people overlook one of the most transformative natural substances on our planet and turn to medication at the drop of a hat. Now you know why you have to go so often to the doctor. Water makes up to 50 to 75% of our body and is integral to every bodily function. Water lubricates the joints. Now think of the Holy Spirit. Think of this thirst. Prevents dryness of skin. One of the most common excuses from people who fail to hydrate is, "I'm not thirsty." I get thirsty often. But I wish I want to have that same thirst I have for water, for the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Ephesians in 5, when it says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit," the Message Bible paraphrases it, you know, take huge draughts of him. Means, you know, just take huge glasses, just like you drink water or drink something that you enjoy. Take huge draughts of the Holy Spirit every day. And oh, that has really stirred my heart. I want to live my life like this. So, like I said, we can apply these truths about natural thirst to a lack of spiritual thirst. Why is it there's creaking in the joints? Why is it we can't get on with one another? We don't have huge drafts. We are not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is it in the home there is so much of clashing? Why is it we cannot accept and understand each other? Why is it the children don't have the joy of living in an atmosphere of peace? We don't drink enough water. The water of the Holy Spirit, the water that Jesus gives us, he says, "You'll never thirst again." It's not coming to meetings, my brothers and sisters. It's not just reading your Bible, not just getting your children to pray. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the gift of God. Many of God's people today are spiritually dehydrated. And I believe that many of you sitting here are spiritually dehydrated because you don't drink enough of that water that Jesus came to give us, that we will never thirst again. I don't say this to throw stones at anyone. God has been speaking to my own heart. I know the times that when I've got dehydrated and then I began, if you don't do something about it, you'll die. You know that? You can die of dehydration. And you can die if you don't receive the gift of God, if you don't receive the power of the Holy Spirit to live your life, to live my life on this earth. That's why Jesus on the last day of that feast, you know, he stood and cried out, not just spoke words, he stood and cried out, if any man is thirsty, he shouted out among all that multitude, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's what he said. If any man is thirsty, he didn't say if any man wants to be holy. He didn't say if any man wants to get victory over sin. He didn't say if any man wants to be a blessing. If any man, if any woman is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Not go to the church, not go to meetings. Come to me. Jesus said that to religious people. You will not come to me that you may have life. You have your head in your Bibles. You listen to messages and messages and messages. What's happening? I've spoken to some of you. And there's no change. I'm listening to so many messages. Brother Zach's. I come to all the meetings. I go to the midweek meeting. I don't see any change in my home situation, my family life. Why? Because we don't see that we are dehydrated, my brothers and sisters. We hear so much in these 44 years. That's been the burden of our hearts. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who speaks to you, you will ask. And he has promised in Isaiah 44, verse 3 to 5, I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Isaiah 44, 3 to 5. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. For you and your children. I want to really, it's a burden on my heart. If we can take that, not just for me, for you and your children, that we can bring up our children this, they'll spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. This one will say, I am the Lord's. That one will call on the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord, and will name, put your name, Israel's name, with honor. That is God's promise. I'll pour out water on the thirsty land, not on those who are having victory, not on those who are serving and sacrificing, on those who are thirsty. If any man is thirsty, if any woman is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And one last thing. What is it that keeps us from thirst? Many things. What is it that keeps us from natural thirst? I don't feel thirsty. There are some people. The doctors tell some people, you're not drinking enough water. That's why we have problems. You accepted that norm of life, a grade of dehydration, and you live that way. That's why you get tired. That's why you're not able to do your job. I'm not saying there can be other issues, health issues. I'm not saying that. But if we really see that in the natural realm, we are not drinking enough water, we get dehydrated. So in the spiritual realm, if I'm not being filled with the Holy Spirit every day, I'm getting dehydrated, and whether I know it, my body, like a body, just resigns itself, adapts itself to your small quantity of water. So also spiritually, you know, we adapt ourselves. I'm okay. I go to the meetings. I read the Bible. I pray. I pray with my family. But I'm not hydrated. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. What is it that keeps many of God's people from thirsting for the gift of God? What is it that keeps God's people from seeing who is the one who speaks? And Isaiah 58 came to my own heart. I want you to turn there. If I take a few minutes more, I think it's worth it. If God can say something to your heart and to mine, this is what keeps us from being thirsty. Isaiah 58 and verse 6, before that, he says in verse 5, in fact, right from the very beginning, he says, cry aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day, delight to know my ways, in a nation that has done righteousness, and so on. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast you find your desire, drive hard all your workers. You fast for contention and strife, and to strike with a wicked fist. And so verse 5 is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed, spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let your oppressed go free? In our homes, in our family life, you may fast, but what is the use? If we don't undo the bands of the yoke we put upon our wife, our partner, upon our children, upon others, undo the bands of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, not to hide yourself from your own flesh. It says in the Living Bible, the Message Bible, it says to being available for your family. And let me go on there. Verse 8. It says, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and you will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, what is that yoke? The pointing of the finger and the speaking of empty words, gossip. When you call, I will answer. When you cry, I will say, here I am, if you remove the yoke. If you take your hand off the throat of your partner, or whoever it may be, and release them. See the result of it. Then your light, middle of verse 10, will rise in the darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. My dear brothers and sisters, we have heard God has been speaking to us, but there are still people who put a yoke, particularly in our homes, in our families, upon our partners, a yoke that they are not able to bear. The disciples realized that they had to go down to Jerusalem, because there were some people who said you had to be circumcised together with the forgiveness of sins. So they had to go and counsel with the elders, and they decided that we were not going to put a yoke. Only two things. You keep away from idolatry and don't eat things, food with the blood in it. We will not put a yoke upon the disciples that we know our fathers have been able to bear. And when there is a conflict, when there is a problem, and you have a problem with your wife or your husband, learn to see the cry behind that problem. Why is it my wife is like this? There's something. Learn to hear that hidden which is not able to express. And if it's a husband, if your husband is not able to express, remove that yoke. If you remove the yoke, I want to say in Jesus' name, this is God's word. You remove the yoke, God will do what He has promised here. You will see it. I've seen it in my life. God spoke to me long back. You're putting a yoke upon your wife, which she's not able to bear. I expect her to live to a certain standard because I want honor. rubbish, fit for the garbage bin. What honor are we seeking? What reputation are we trying to preserve? My children should behave in a particular way. My husband should behave in a particular way. My wife should behave in a particular way because she belongs to CFC. Rubbish, nonsense. God says, remove that yoke. Be available for your family. Then the lights will turn on, it says in the Message Bible. The lights will turn on in your house. The darkness will go. And not just that. Verse 11. Verse 10. If you give yourself to the hungry, then it's not I, me and my family. I'll think of others. Satisfy the desire of the afflicted. Then your light will rise in the darkness. The lights will turn on in your house. Your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you. Satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Do you see it, my brothers and sisters? We'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And not just that, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets or the parts in which to dwell. You see what happens? What God can do if I receive the gift of God and give heed to the one who's speaking to me, the great I am who speaks to me. I want to give you water. You'll never thirst again. You don't need to go anywhere to draw water. Because the water that I give you will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And not just that, it will flow from you, innermost being, right, rivers of living water. That is the gift of God, my brothers and sisters. We will become repairers of the breach. We will become restorers of the parts. We will seek to restore fellowship, first of all in our home. We will build fellowship in the church, the fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Not a human soulish fellowship, a fellowship in the Holy Spirit. That is what will result. May God speak to our hearts. I pray this morning with all of my heart. If you've been attending this church and you have not known the gift of God, you have not known who it is who speaks to you, you humble yourself right now. Say, Lord, give me this water that I shall never thirst again. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, like you were there for that woman, disillusioned, despised, rejected, fed up of life, looking to satisfy her thirst in marriage relationships, living in sin. Oh Lord, how your heart longs to lift your people out of this morass that we have sunk in. Please help us this morning to see that you want to give us the gift of God, to give to us and to our children. It's you, our Father, who speaks to us. We humble ourselves. Lord, make us thirsty. Help us to remove the things that hinder us from being thirsty, to break every yoke and come to you and receive the water of life, that we may live and serve your purpose in our generation. We ask in your name. Amen. Praise God for what we heard. I want to remind ourselves that this church was born on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord spoke through our brother, baptism of the Holy Spirit, they came out, and that is where they began. This church was begun. Brothers and sisters, we cannot neglect the gift of the Spirit that the Lord has for us. Even I was stuck with this word. If you knew the gift of God, what it can do in your life, then we will ask, like Samaritan woman who said, "Sir, give me that water." I pray that the Lord will put a desire in our heart, a thirst in our heart to ask for it. The gift of the Holy Spirit that the Lord has for us. I was thinking, in the old covenant, you know, there are people whom God has filled them with the Holy Spirit. We know about Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But what happened? He went and fought with the Midianites and he won the battle. But after that, slowly, his life was remained same. God filled Samson. The Samson was filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God mightily. And he did the miracles. He fought against Philistines. But what happened? His life remained same. In fact, the miserable life. God has called him. God has set apart his life. I mean, he was a set apart for the Lord. But what happened is ending. God filled Saul through Samuel. Samuel said, "When the Spirit of the Lord come upon you, you will be changed into another man." But what happened? When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he got an external humility, he went and hid in the baggage. He thought that he is so humble. But later on, what happened? His life has remained same. In fact, worse than the time when he began. But David, he had a spirit of new covenant. When he asked in Psalm 91, he said, "Thou dost desire truth in the innermost being." When the Holy Spirit come into our life, the gift that the Lord has for us, the reality, the truth that comes into our innermost being. Jesus said, we heard that verse in John chapter 7, in the last day of the feast. He cried out, those who are thirsty. He said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being, the rivers of living water." We read about Isaiah chapter 44 verse 3. It said, "For I will pour out my water on the thirsty land, and the streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offsprings, and my blessings on your descendants." It's only on you, upon you, but the Jesus is glorified, and he went and he sent another helper who can come inside, who can come and fill our innermost being. John the Baptist said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The fire will come and cleanse, the burn out every trace of sin in our life." And the Holy Spirit that come inside and clean the cup inside, that is the gift which God has for us. If you know the gift of God, who is it is who says to you, "My brothers and sisters, this is the gift that the Lord has for you and me. Shall we come to him and drink to the springs of living water that the Lord has for us?" I pray that the Lord would put a desire in our hearts, that we don't take it lightly, and we ask the Lord, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit." And I, you know, this is the cry of my heart. "Breathe on me, breath of God." This hymn that we sing often. "Until my heart is pure, until with thee I will, one will, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with fire and divine." The Holy Spirit, the new covenant, the Holy Spirit that we heard in this church, the new covenant Holy Spirit, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism fire that will turn our hearts and glows our innermost being with the rivers of living water. And the fire will it will burn every trace of sin in our life. That is the life God wants us. And I pray that the Lord would put a desire in our hearts. "Lord, I don't want to," like Samaritan woman said, "Sir, give me that water so that I don't have to come here to draw every week
every time, but well within our hearts. God wants to do that. Every last one of us, young people, we don't have to go on like this. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, I need this Holy Spirit. And I pray that, I believe that God has something wonderful for us if we turn to Him, if we open our innermost being, and that God wants to give a truth and reality in our life. May God help us. May God put the desire in our hearts so that we seek for it earnestly. Amen.